Don't worry about anything, but in everything by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God, and the peace of God, which passes all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4, verses 6 and 7. Thanks for listening today. This is the Hour of Intercession. I'm Pastor Joseph Parker. We invite you to look with us in the book of Psalms, Psalm 27, beginning at verse 1. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked came against me to eat up my flesh, my enemies and foes, they stumbled and fell. Though an army may encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war may rise against me, in this I will be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret place of his tabernacle he shall hide me. He shall set me high upon a rock. And now my head shall be lifted up above my enemies all around me. Therefore I will offer sacrifices of joy in his tabernacle. I will sing, yes, I will sing praises to the Lord. Verses 1 through 6, Psalm 27. Father, again, thank you for the wonderful gift of your word. Thank you for the privilege of being able to walk with you in your word each and every day. More and more empower us to be believers that know how to take the sword of the Spirit, your precious word, and use it to both do offensive and defensive work in the building of your kingdom. Anoint us afresh with the spirit of prayer, that we would be the prayer warriors daily that you would have us to be. We thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. We are honored to have as our phone guest today, Jeannie Mancini. She's the president of March for Life. Jeannie, how are you today?
Doing well. Thank you so much for having me, Pastor Joseph.
Well, thank you for being on with us. And we only have the opportunity to have you on the first segment, so we want to make the most of our time. Thank you for taking the time out of your busy schedule. But as we start, would you take a moment to share with our listeners the mission of March for Life, as well as the date and the time and that sort of thing?
Yeah, I'd love to. Thank you. So, of course, your listeners will remember a sad day in the United States. 1973, January 22nd, was when Roe versus Wade and Doe versus Bolton were passed at the Supreme Court, and that legalized abortion basically through all three trimesters in every state in the United States. And so the following year, that January 22nd, 1974, leading up to that sort of quote-unquote anniversary, there were many pro-lifers who wanted to draw attention to it and show that, you know, they believed in the inherent dignity of the human person, of the unborn. And so they started the very first March for Life in 1974, January 22nd. And they anticipated at that point there might be one, two, maybe three marches, but they never thought it would go on for 47 years because they thought that that Supreme Court decision would be corrected, really, because, you know, for a lot of reasons, it was a decision that was an unjust decision and a decision of judicial activism outside of what the court is called to do, sort of creating, you know, aspects of the Constitution that aren't really there. So they never thought that here we would be 47 years later still marching for life. At the same time, they never envisioned that the March for Life would become the largest pro-life demonstration that happens annually around the world. So every year in January, our organization organizes this march. It's usually these days on a Friday. This year, it will be Friday, January 24th, and it's in our nation's capital. It's on the National Mall. It's at noon, and usually, historically, in Washington, D.C., that week is one of the coldest weeks of the year, so it's a pilgrimage, a sacrifice of sorts, because it's kind of cold and frigid out, sometimes snowy. And we all come together, unified as a movement, praying and marching for those who can't march for themselves, for the 60 million Americans and their moms who are the walking wounded, the 60 million Americans who've lost their lives to abortion and their families who are the walking wounded.
Okay. And you said it's been going on for 47 years?
Yeah, this will be the 47th March for Life this January.
Well, praise God for the faithful that have come together consistently to carry that forward. Well, what would you want to say in the way of encouraging believers who are listening to come out and to be a part of an event like March for Life?
Well, first, what I would want to say to anyone who's listening is that all of us know people that have been involved in abortion in our country, in our families, in our friends, and maybe there might even be a listener or two or many who themselves have been involved in abortion. And the most important thing I would want to say to those people is that there's always hope and healing through Christ. There's always hope and healing. And there might be something that you're struggling with, but please know that you can reach out to the right organizations to seek and find that hope and healing in Christ. And that might be through Pastor Joseph's work. You can also contact us at the March for Life, marchforlife.org, and our phone numbers on the website and everything, and we can connect you with some of these organizations. So I think it's important to state that, Pastor Joseph, because as I mentioned before, we've lost over 60 million Americans to abortion, and many of the moms and dads, where are the war wounds of this? You know, sometimes when women choose abortion, they're really sort of backed into a corner, and they feel that they can't sort of handle the responsibility of choosing life. And they often just carry sort of that trauma and that sadness with them of taking a life later on, because that is really what happens. We don't want to underestimate that. At the same time, like I said, there's always mercy, hope, and healing. And so so why do I start with that? Well, first of all, because a lot of people that hear about the March for Life get a wrong idea that it's not a merciful or a loving march. It's very merciful. It's all about love, in fact, really. But also, all are welcome. I mean, people who might be kind of converts, I guess you could say, to this cause. And when we march, we're marching for the good of everyone. We're marching for a culture of life. We're marching for a culture where life is respected and loved. And we're really marching for a culture where love is at the heart of everything we do. You know, that darkness and death is not, you know, defining us in terms of abortion, et cetera. So many people will ask, is it really important, you know, that I go to the March for Life? And I think each person has to look in their heart and figure that out for themselves. But I will say this, that there is a tremendous testimony that is born both through the media and through social media and through different worship services, et cetera, for people who come to the March for Life, in addition to the fact that our own hearts are changed by being involved in something as powerful as the March for Life.
Well, you know, Jeannie, I would mention I had the privilege of going to the March for Life for the first time in my life just this past January, and it was a tremendous experience. I had the privilege of accompanying a Students for Life group from Mississippi Valley State University, and they, too, were tremendously impacted by getting a chance to come and attend the event. And just one of many powerful things from my perspective is just to see the huge ocean of people that come out to participate and be a part of this wonderful march. What would you say further to listeners to help them, to encourage them to, if they don't come, to pray, but to encourage them to try to come out and be a part of it?
Yeah. Well, one thing that they can check out is if there are local marches in their state or just in their local area, if it's too hard to actually get to the March for Life. But but truly, I guess the thing that I would say most is just open your heart to the possibility of coming, because it really is a life-changing experience. It may be that God is calling you to come to the March for Life. And I have read so many testimonies, especially of young people, and heard different stories about just something being sparked by someone at the March for Life. For whatever reason, God really uses the march to build a culture of life. So in other words, someone might come to the march and they go back and start a pregnancy care center, or they start, you know, praying in front of clinics, or maybe they decide to run for public office or school board or something like that, so that they can have an impact on local pro-life policies. So I would just really encourage your listeners to be open to God's will and God's plan. Not saying that it's definitely that they would come to the march, but that's a real possibility, and I would ask that they would be open to that.
Okay. Well, what specifically would you ask listeners, whether they're able to make it or not, how would you ask listeners to pray for this important event?
Well, I define myself as a prayer warrior. I think everything needs to begin in prayer. You know, it's like the action that we take in our life, it's really the fruit of that contemplation and that closeness with God. And we're really trying to follow God's desires and the impulses of the Holy Spirit from prayer. And so mm-hmm. I would ask first and foremost, just that they would pray that we would build a culture of life and for the March for Life, that through the work of the March for Life, God would work. God would do his plans, his wills, and we would hope that that would mean hearts and minds be changed so that mm-hmm. abortion becomes unthinkable in our culture. But then there are also other prayers that the Holy Spirit would inspire our speakers, that hearts would be open to hear the word that the Lord has for them, that people would be open to coming, that everyone would be safe, that our staff too would be protected. This really is a spiritual battle, and sometimes the spiritual warfare can be pretty strong, especially right. around the month of the March for Life. So for all of those intentions, we'd be so grateful for people's prayers.
Okay. I want to ask if you'll take a moment now specifically to pray for listeners to consider what you've mentioned, their participation, their attendance, or at least their being a part of the prayer team. But would you pray for our listeners in that, in some of these regards?
I'd be happy to. Thank you, Pastor Joseph. Okay. Heavenly Father, I ask that you would open all of our hearts and minds and ears to your word, to receive your seed, your word. And I pray, Lord, that if you would, that you would call many people who are listening today to this broadcast, specifically to the March for Life this January 24th, 2020. I pray that you'd open their hearts and minds to that if it's what you have in order for them, and that you would provide ways for them to get there, Lord, that you would make the plan and that we would follow it. And I pray, Lord, that once those of us hear your word, hear you calling us to something specifically like coming to the March for Life or doing something specific for a culture of life, that you would give us the grace in response to say yes and to trust you in that and to let that bear fruit in us, to surrender and say yes. And we ask all of this, Jesus, in your name. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, Jeannie.
Sure.
Jeannie, I want to ask this too. Our time is almost gone, but just briefly, if you'd share, if someone is thinking to themselves, I really like the wonderful mission behind March for Life. I think it would be a nice event, but I don't really see how my attending would really make a difference. What would you say to that person?
Well, you know, I there are scenarios where it's not right for someone to attend. For example, mm-hmm. there's a young man. I mean, this is an amazing story, Pastor Joseph. This is a boy who's going to Oklahoma Christian University, mm-hmm. and he's going to be a junior in college, and he donated thousands of dollars to the March for Life as his tithe. Mm-hmm. And so I've reached out, and we've talked a few times, and we talked about if he should come to the March for Life this year. Well, he's on a swimming scholarship, and he's got a swim meet the next day. Mm-hmm. Well, you know what? It's God's will for him to do his best as a swimmer and as a student. Mm-hmm. And so it's not the right thing for him to come to the March for Life this year. So it's not like every scenario. But that said, I think a lot of us put up obstacles because it just seems too complicated or hard. Mm-hmm. But there are so many ways to come to the March for Life. If you even get on our website, you'll see that there are different bus groups and church groups that come from all areas of the country, and you can join in with one of those groups. And I've just heard, you know, really stories that are kind of miraculous when we open our hearts. And I would just say one more time, it's kind of a life-changing event. Sometimes, you know, we sort of drag our feet a little bit with some of these things because it will require some effort and it might be a little hard, you know, mm-hmm. to think about the sadness of abortion. But boy, does it bear fruit in so many different ways. Again, our hearts are changed. We come back to our local community and really want to make a difference.
Okay. Well, thank you again just for sharing your thoughts and just those words of encouragement. And I want to encourage every single listener to pray, just as Jeannie mentioned, pray about the possibility of attending the March for Life. It's a powerful event, and it's a wonderful demonstration of people who love the Lord coming together to stand for life. Jeannie, thank you for being with us today.
Thank you, Pastor Joseph. God bless you. Thanks for having me.
Thank you. Again, our phone guest was Jeannie Mancini of March for Life. Thanks. We'll be right back after this break.
Yes, there is
victory in the name of Jesus.
I'm so glad there's
victory in the name of Jesus.
music of Jennifer McHale, the song Victory. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We were blessed to have as our guest for the first segment, Jeannie Mancini. She's the president of March for Life. And please pray for that very important event, March for Life, that happens each year during the month of January. For the balance of the broadcast, we'll be looking at a topic, the specific topic, the powerful weapon of the Word of God. And we invite you to look with us first in the book of Ephesians, chapter 6, beginning at verse 10. Again, Ephesians 6, starting at verse 10. Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand. Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints and for me, that utterance may be given to me, that I may open my mouth boldly to make known the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that in it I may speak boldly as I ought to speak. Verses 10 through 20, Ephesians chapter 6. Again, we're looking for the balance of the broadcast at the topic, the powerful weapon of the Word of God. Now notice here, specifically, this whole passage, verses 10 to 20 of Ephesians 6, deals with the topic of spiritual warfare and the reality of spiritual warfare. Like it or not, we are dealing with battling principalities. Again, specifically, verse 12 says, "For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God, that you may be able to withstand in the evil day, and having done all, to stand." A very important truth for us as believers to look at is that I believe one of the best ways for us to perceive and look upon the landscape of life and the landscape of the world we live in is that we see it as a battlefield. Life really is not a beach, nor is it a playground. It's more of a battlefield. And the fact is, the wisest people will be well-equipped warriors who know how to step out on the battlefield to be able to take the weaponry God has made available and both do damage and tear down the kingdom of darkness. In other words, be on the offensive, as well as to know how to defend him or herself as well, spiritually as well. So notice that specifically it talks about putting on the full armor of God and the different pieces that it refers to. So Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20 is a powerful and a very wise passage for us to read and study because it helps us better understand how to take some of the weaponry God has made available to each and every one of us. And so it mentions several different items. Again, verse 14 says, "Stand therefore, having girded your waist with truth." It mentions truth. "Having put on the breastplate of righteousness and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace." And it says in verse 16, "Above all, taking the shield of faith with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one." And it goes on to say, verse 17, "And take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God." Now, specifically, we're especially looking at the sword of the Spirit. And as we look at the topic, the powerful weapon of the Word of God, notice this. Again, the sword of the Spirit is kind of a key and a chief weapon to be used by believers. Now, all of them we are wise to put to use, and that's very important to understand. But specifically it says, the sword of the Spirit is the Word of God. And keep in mind, a sword is both an offensive weapon as well as a defensive weapon as well. And the fact is, a soldier on the battlefield would be wise to become highly skilled at using their key weapon. And in this case, it refers to the sword. Now, the fact is, in our contemporary world, a more apt weapon might be a rifle or a handgun, but the reality is learning to be skillful in the way you use the weapon. Your key weapon is very, very important. And so I want you to keep in mind, it specifically refers to the Word of God as being the sword of the Spirit. Now notice it said it's the sword of the Spirit. Now, of course, it's speaking of the Holy Spirit. The Word is the weapon in the hands of the Holy Spirit. That means the more you put the Word of God in your mind and in your heart, the more you give to the Holy Spirit who lives on the inside of you to work with you and through you with. So you and I work hand in hand with the Holy Spirit to battle the enemy, but our key weapon is the Word of God. And so the more you fill up your mind and heart with the Word, the more, again, as I mentioned, you're putting ammunition in the hands of the Holy Spirit to do battle through us and in us and around our lives. So all of us are wise to become highly skilled when it comes to being students of the Word of God, but also learning how to put the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, to work in our lives as well. I want to mention to you 7 ways you can use the sword of the Spirit. In other words, 7 ways to put God's Word to work effectively and wisely in your life. All of them are important. None of them are quite the same thing. They're all related. All of them edify you. All of them build the kingdom of God as you take them and use them. But none of them are quite the same thing. 7 ways to use the Word of God daily. You can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of them are related, but they're not the same thing. In other words, you can read the Word of God, but not really hear the Word of God. You can believe the Word of God, but not choose to speak the Word of God. Well, of course, we're to hear the Word of God, but also we're to obey God's Word as well. Well, you know, some believers don't realize that you can pray the Word of God as well. And of course, reading the Word of God and meditating on the Word of God are related, but they're not necessarily the same thing. So these are 7 ways to put the powerful Word of God to work. Remember, again, 7 different ways to use your sword. The Word of God, the sword of the Spirit. So all of them edify you. All of them draw you closer to the Lord. All of them cause grace to pour into your life and through your life in greater measure as well. But it is important for us to grow in our skill of learning how to put the Word of God, the powerful Word of God, to work in our lives. And it's up to us to learn to do that. Keep in mind, God will let you put the Word of God to work in your life as much as you choose to. But he wants you to put it to work continually. Keep in mind, when you think of it in the Gospels, even when Jesus, the Lord Jesus, in his earthly ministry, went into the wilderness and was tempted by Satan, notice this. Jesus used the Word of God to combat the devil in one-on-one combat in the area of temptation. Jesus himself, who is the Word of God, used the Word of God to combat Satan. Now, if Jesus, who is the Word, use the Word, you and I are wise to effectively learn to use the Word of God to fight the devil and to fight temptation as well. Father, thank you, Lord, for the wonderful gift of your Word. Thank you for the opportunity you give us to be able to use your Word and put your Word to work in our lives each and every day. Lord, anoint us afresh with the Spirit that would cause us to have a hunger for your Word, that would lead us to fill our hearts and our minds with your Word each and every day. Help us to be wise enough to put the powerful Word, the sword of the Spirit, to work in our lives daily, to use it much, and help us to not only learn to fill our hearts and our minds with it daily, help us as parents and grandparents and those that work with young people, help us to be wise enough to teach and train and guide our children to fill up on the Word of God every day and to learn how to put the Word of God to work effectively and wisely and strategically in their lives as well. Help us to know, Lord, that as we teach and train our children to skillfully use your Word, they too can become well-equipped warriors in the kingdom of God. We thank you for the opportunity to do it. We praise you in Jesus' name. We do pray. Amen. Well, in looking at ways to use the Word of God, and again, we're focusing on the topic of the powerful weapon of the Word of God. Yes, the Word of God is the most powerful weapon in the whole wide world, and we're wise to become highly effective at putting it to work. Well, take, for example, Psalm 1 is a short psalm, but notice, in the book of Psalms, and Psalms is a powerful, powerful book, of course, in the Word of God. All of them are powerful, but Psalms uniquely. Jesus quoted from the book of Psalms more than any other book in his earthly ministry. And it's powerful to consider that. But note this, the book of Psalms is the longest book in the Bible. And it's one of the key themes of the book of Psalms is worship. But another very important topic in the book of Psalms also is the powerful gift of God's word. And note too that of all the Psalms in the book of Psalms, and of course there are 150 Psalms in the book of Psalms, but God chose to place Psalm 1 as the very first Psalm. It's the Psalm that introduces us to the book of Psalms, and it focuses largely on the powerful word of God. Let's look at it. I'm going to read Psalm 1. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. He shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. The ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. Therefore the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. Again, a powerful short psalm that begins by focusing on the powerful word of God. Verse 2 again says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Now note too, it specifically mentions about how this person reacts to the word of God. Their delight, in other words, they find great joy, blessing, and satisfaction in spending time in the word of God. Ask yourself the question, do you delight in God's word? Does the word excite you and stir you and strengthen you and fulfill you and bring satisfaction to your life? Well, you're wise to pray that God would help you to grow to the place where it does just that in your life. Because remember, when you're reading the word of God, you're interacting with Jesus. You're talking to Jesus. You're spending time one-on-one with Jesus. And remember, when Jesus talks to you through his word, he's not just giving you information. He's pouring grace, peace, strength, encouragement, light, empowerment, and so many more things into your mind and your heart. It's so good to understand that we're wise to come to the place where, like the person described in Psalm 1, we delight in the law of the Lord. That same verse goes on to say, and in his law he meditates day and night. What does it mean to meditate? To meditate is to read and then go back over it and to read it again. And to read it again and to mull over it and to spend time reading and thinking about it. Notice this, in a number of the Psalms, in the book of Psalms, it has the word Selah. The word Selah means pause and think about this. Now, why would it say that? You know, when you read something, didn't you hear what it said? Well, maybe you did and maybe you didn't. Because sometimes in our reading, we can read something but not really, really, really hear it. So when God says in the book of Psalms, Selah, he's telling you the word Selah means pause and think about this. Why? Because it's a truth that you can get a whole lot more out of if you really spend time thinking about what God has just said to you. So we're wise to recognize, again, the most powerful weapon in the whole wide world is the word of God. So let's seek to be faithful to do just that. We're to be hearers and doers of the word. Thank you, Lord, again, for the wonderful gift of your word. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Keep in mind, the word of God, as I said, is the most powerful weapon in all of the world. And as believers, we're wise to really listen to the wisdom behind Psalm 1. Again, note what verse 2 says, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Understand this. I like to use the term that John Wesley used in reference to spiritual habits. His word for spiritual habits was means of grace. And that's actually a wonderful description of what spiritual habits are. Keep in mind, you and I cannot earn grace. God is the Lord Jesus Christ has made it abundantly available to us. In fact, an ocean of God's grace is available to all of us as believers because the Lord Jesus Christ came into the world, lived and died on the cross and rose again from the dead so that we could be saved. But remember, in order to draw on that grace, again, we're wise to put to use these different means of grace God has made available. What are some of those means of grace? Well, when you pray, through spending time in prayer, it causes God's grace to pour into your life. through spending time reading and meditating on the Word. That too causes the grace of God to pour into your life. So spiritual habits cause God's grace to pour into your life in greater measure. We're coming up on a break now. We'll pick up on the other side our topic for the balance of our program today, the powerful weapon of the Word of God. We'll be right back. Music from the group Commission, the song Secret Place. Thanks for listening to the Hour of Intercession here on American Family Radio. We're looking today at the topic of the powerful weapon of the Word of God. And in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, verses 10 through 20, it speaks about putting on the full armor of God. And it refers to the sword, the Word of God, as being the sword of the Spirit. It's our chief weapon as believers in life. And so we're to learn to become skillful users of the sword of the Spirit, God's powerful word. We've mentioned seven ways to put the Word of God to work in your life on a daily basis. We're to read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. All of them are edifying, all of them are empowering, none of them are quite the same thing. And we're wise to use the Word of God in all seven ways on a daily basis. And keep in mind, too, as I mentioned, that Christ, in his hour of temptation in his earthly ministry, he strictly used the Word of God on Satan. He spoke the Word of God in response to every time the devil came against him, he spoke the Word of God. And if Jesus, who is the Word of God, chose to use the Word of God to battle Satan, then you and I would be wise to do the very same thing. So it's important then that we seek to be believers who are putting the Word of God to work and becoming more and more skillful in the way we put God's Word to work. Now, keep in mind, all of God's Word has anointing on it. So when you read the Word of God, it's pouring more of the anointing of God upon your life. And keep in mind, all of God's Word has grace on it. So do you want more grace at work in your life? Spend more time reading and meditating on the Word of God, but also not just reading and meditating on it. Again, speaking the Word of God, praying the Word of God, really hearing the Word of God. All of these are ways whereby we can allow the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Again, As I was speaking in the earlier segment, I really like the term John Wesley used in the way he described spiritual habits. He used the term means of grace, and that's exactly what they are. They're means whereby we can allow the grace of God to pour into our lives in greater measure. Do you want more grace at work in your life? Then spend more time praying. Spend more time reading and meditating on the Word of God. Spend more time obeying the Word of God. All of these are things that we can do, tasks, spiritual tasks you can carry out that cause the grace of God to pour into your life and upon your life and through your life in greater measure. Remember, you cannot earn grace, but as I said, the ocean of God's grace is abundantly available to every believer, and you can access it every time you spend time with God in prayer. You can access the ocean of God's grace. Who really is God? God himself is the ocean of his grace. And so you're accessing the grace of God. You're accessing God more as you spend time with him in prayer, as you spend time in the Word of God. And remember this, God will spend as much time with you as you'll spend with him. If you want to spend a lot of time with God, just open the Word of God and spend time, 30 minutes, an hour, or even longer in the Word of God. God will spend every moment of that time with you. And he'll spend that time edifying you, encouraging you, helping you to grow stronger. And keep in mind, the Word of God also says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the Word of God. Your faith can grow stronger and stronger as you spend more time in the Word of God and as you spend more time reading and meditating on that precious and powerful Word. So we become better equipped warriors as we spend time reading and meditating on the Word of God as well. So keep in mind, again, the seven ways you can use God's Word on a daily basis, as I mentioned. Again, you can read it, hear it, believe it, speak it, obey it, pray it, and meditate on it. Now, let me mention once again, if you'd like to get some of the prayer tools we provide that touches on some of these issues that we're talking about today, please do email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. We'd be glad to send some of the prayer tools and discipleship tools that we're talking about today, too. And specifically, too, of the seven ways to use God's Word, I mentioned also praying the Word of God. Now, I don't think I can overemphasize how important it is for us to learn to do just that. On a number of occasions, we allude to prayers like, for example, the prayer of Jabez. Well, that's a prayer that comes straight from the Word of God. And you and I are wise to pray it each and every day. And keep in mind, the Word of God is the will of God. So when you pray the Word of God, you're praying the perfect will of God as well. So you and I would be wise to pray the prayer of Jabez every day. Let's take a moment to pray it now. Father, thank you for this day. Lord, bless me indeed. Expand my territory. Cause your hand to be mightily upon me. Keep me from evil that I may not cause pain. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, a short prayer found in the book of 1 Chronicles chapter 4, verses 9 and 10. Only two verses refer to the life of Jabez in the Bible. But that the prayer of Jabez is contained within that short two verses. And you and I are wise to pray that prayer every single day. And remember, the Word of God is the will of God. So when you pray the prayer of Jabez on a daily basis, you're praying the perfect will of God. So I would challenge and encourage you to pray it over your life every day and pray it over other things as well. Because again, it's a weapon. And it's a weapon whereby you can take and bless things and bless other projects that you're a part of as well. So you and I would be wise to use that prayer a lot. But it's one of a number of blessed prayers, of course, you find in the Word of God. Let me say this too. In the book of Isaiah chapter 6, it's interesting to note too this, that in the book of Isaiah, it shares a vision. A vision God gave Isaiah of the throne room in heaven. And Isaiah found himself undone as he was beholding what he was beholding, but basically God cleansed his lips. And then God laid a challenge before Isaiah. And, you know, it's very interesting to note both the challenge but also the scene that Isaiah has a chance to observe. What's taking place is, after God has cleansed him, it says specifically in Isaiah chapter 6, Isaiah chapter 6, beginning at verse 8, it says, "Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, whom shall I send, and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me." Well, again, that's Isaiah's response. And keep in mind, not only is it a response, it's also a prayer. In other words, Isaiah was saying, "Lord, here I am, I'm available, send me to do your will." That too is a prayer that we as believers are wise to pray every single day. And remember, the Word of God is the will of God. God wants willing vessels that desire to be used. And if we're wise, we will pray on a daily basis that God would do just that. So when you pray the prayer that Isaiah prayed, God will answer it every day. So again, we can simply pray it this way. "Lord, here am I. I'm available today. Send me this day to do your will. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen." Why should we pray that prayer every day? Well, because, again, God is looking for people that want to be used. And if you ask him to use you, he will do it. So I would challenge and encourage you to pray that every day. And again, as we look at ways to pray the Word of God. Remember, it's a very fruitful and a wise way to pray the Word of God. And of course, obviously, prayer is always to be according to the Word and the will of God. Because remember this, prayer is not a blank check. You know, you can ask for some things and God is going to say no because it's not His will. But on the other hand, when you pray the Word of God is the will of God. And so you don't have to worry about whether or not it's God's will. If you're praying the Word of God is clearly the perfect will of God. So we're wise to pray it each and every day. Well, I would challenge you also to make it your goal to pray Psalm 91, a prayer based on Psalm 91 every day as well. Why is that true? Well, for one thing, we live in a crazy world. We live in a dangerous world, a world where so many tragedies are happening. But keep in mind, we also live in a world where no one can protect you like God can. And Psalm 91 is a unique psalm in all of the Word of God. It's a unique weapon that we as believers can use in our lives for divine protection. And keep in mind, remember, Psalm 91 is the will of God. So praying that psalm in your life every day is very wise. And keep in mind to every listener, please do email us at the email I've mentioned because I want to challenge you to get a copy of the prayers based on Psalm 91 and pray it every day over yourself and over your family. I would encourage you to pray it over your workplace on a daily basis as well. But I'm going to take a moment now specifically to pray Psalm 91, and I invite you to pray along with me. Today I dwell in the secret place of the Most High, and so I abide under the shadow of the Almighty. Today I say to the Lord, You are my refuge and my fortress. My God, in You I trust. Surely You deliver me from the snare of the fowler and from the noisome pestilence. You cover me with Your feathers, and under Your wings I trust. Your truth is my shield and buckler. And so I am not afraid for the terror by night, nor for the arrow that flies by day, nor for the pestilence that walks in darkness, nor for the destruction that lays waste at noonday. 1,000 may fall at my side and 10,000 at my right hand, but it shall not come near me. Only with my eyes shall I look and see the reward of the wicked. Because I have made the Lord my refuge, even the Most High my habitation, no evil will befall me, nor does any plague come near my dwelling. For You give Your angels charge over me to keep me in all my ways. And they bear me up in their hands, lest I dash my foot against a stone. I tread upon the lion and the cobra, the young lion and the serpent I trample underfoot. Because I have set my love upon Him, therefore He delivers me. He sets me on high because I have known His name. I will call upon Him and He answers me. He is with me in trouble. You're with me, You deliver me, and You honor me. With long life You satisfy me and show me Your salvation. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Again, praying through Psalm 91. Now, keep in mind again, my email, if you'd like to get a copy of the Psalm 91 prayer or any of a number of these prayers we've mentioned, please do email us at jparker@afa.net. Again, jparker@afa.net. And we'll send you, again, the prayer tool entitled Kingdom Prayers. I want to challenge you when you get it, pray through the prayers listed, which includes Psalm 91 prayer, the Isaiah prayer, and a number of others that come either are based on the Word of God or come straight from the Word of God. Again, they're tools that can help jumpstart or empower your prayer life. And also, there are ways to put the powerful weapon of the Word of God to work in your life in greater ways. Remember, it's important to know, as I mentioned, the most powerful weapon in the world is God's precious and powerful Word. There's no more powerful weapon out there. So we're wise to become highly skilled warriors who know how to take the Word of God and put it to use every day, not only in our own lives, but on behalf of our families. But also, we're wise to pray it for the sake of others, like our communities. We're wise to use these prayers in our workplaces. We should use them to pray for our nation and our world as well. You and I should seek to become highly skilled warriors when it comes to putting the powerful weapon of God's word to work every single day. Our time is almost gone. We're going to take a moment to pray the Ten Commandments over ourselves, our church, and our nation as well. Thank You, Lord, for today. Thank You for our church family. Thank You, Father, for our nation as well. Help us as a nation, help us as the church, and help us in our individual lives to put You first. Help us to make no graven images. Help us to not take Your name in vain. Help us, Lord, to remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Help us to honor our fathers and our mothers. Help us to not murder. Help us to not commit adultery. Help us, again, as individuals, as a church, and as a nation, to not steal. Help us to tell the truth. And help us, Lord, to not covet. In Jesus' name we do pray. Amen. Well, again, a way to take the Ten Commandments as found in the Word of God in the book of Exodus chapter 20 and Deuteronomy chapter 5, praying the Ten Commandments for yourself, again, for the church, and for our nation as well, a great way to put the wonderful tool of the Ten Commandments to work. Well, again, my email, if you'd like to get some of the prayer tools we've spoken about or some of the insight we were sharing on the broadcast today, simply email me at jparker@afa.net. Again, that's jparker@afa.net. The prayer tools, as I mentioned, can help jumpstart your prayer life, to help strengthen and build your prayer life to make it more effective. Again, as we've today looked at the topic, the powerful weapon of God's Word, I would challenge you to start reading at least 3 chapters in your Bible every day and learn to put it to work in all 7 ways that we mentioned. Hope you'll do that. Thanks for listening. Join us again next time for the Hour of Intercession.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast do not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.